Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
I think I need to acknowledge that Colossians reading that I just read has been massively misused by the church over the years. And it's not something I'm going to speak about today, but perhaps we should take some time at some point to have a series of passages that have been misused over the years for different reasons. But we're going to be talking about our front line as ever today. We started this series a couple of weeks ago where I gave you the big picture and reminded us that we all have a front line, whether we're in paid work or whether we're not. We have a front line, the people that we mix with during the week. Some of us have an extreme front line, like Mike, where he mixes with lots of people. Others of us maybe just mix with one or two people, but we have a front line. And then last week, Polly looked at modeling godly character on our front line. How do others see us on our front line? Because they probably know that we are Christians, or at least they think we go to church. We'll talk about whether we go to church another time, but they will know it, won't they? And Polly reminded us that whatever's inside of us will come out on our front line. If that's anger and bitterness, that will come out. But if it's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that will spill out of our heart as well. And then today, we look at what it means to work on our front line. And I want to make it clear at this point that God is working class. Which I do say with a bit tongue-in-cheek, but if we look straight away at our... get this right.
Our work all...
This is the problem with having a guy doing the slides as well. Look at the beginning of our Bible, the very first word there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And then, that's a working stance, isn't it? In the beginning, created. But very quickly, by chapter 2, and we're going to be talking more about Sabbath next year as it happens, but by chapter 2, we read, by the seventh day, God has finished the work he had been doing, so that on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested on from all his work of creating that he had done. Now, whether you look at Genesis as literal or allegoric, the truth is there plain to see. God was at work from the very beginning, from the very day he started, from day one, moment one. So why then do we rush so quickly from that? You may not know this if you haven't reached 50 yet, or if you reached 50 after the age of, or before the age of Facebook. But as soon as you have a 5 in front of the number of your age, Facebook decides that all you care about is retirement. I can testify to that. And it begins telling you how much better retirement is than obviously whatever pitiful work you do right now, you know. And then it starts asking, do you have enough money for retirement? But that isn't the way of God. As we heard in our gospel reading, God has a different plan. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And now the theologian Polly Honeychurch reminded us last week that when we read the word therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what is that there for? It's sad, but I just can't forget it whenever I look at it now. And it's right, of course, isn't it? When you see the word therefore, you have to say, what has come before this? And what has come before this is the greatest sermon ever told. Lasting several days, so be grateful, but lasting several days where Jesus has been saying to people, this is how you live your life on the front line. This is the way to be an apprentice to Jesus. And as part of that, we read this. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. The golden rule, if you will. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Jesus summarizes all that teaching and says, do to others what you would have them do to you. And then again, you know, we read that, and I read that, you know, so in most things, do to others what you would have them do to you. On a Sunday morning, do to others what you would have them do to you. Perhaps when you hang around with your Christian pals, do to others what you would have them do to you. That's not what it says, is it? It says, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Our work on earth is about bringing God's kingdom to the flourishing, for the flourishing of God's people. There's no assumption, whatever Facebook says, that you will retire. You might retire from paid work, but you won't stop being part of God's kingdom here on earth. And then we read in Colossians from Paul, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for a human master. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for human master. So what is your work? What is your work? We heard a bit about Mike's earlier on. Mine, up until 8 years ago, was leaving home at some ridiculous hour of the morning, going to a customer site, working with projects on them, and then getting home probably somewhere in the region of 12 hours later. My work right now is a little bit more blurred on the edges because of what I do and who I am. But what is your work? I know we've got doctors in the room. You know, I know we've got all sorts of people. We've heard about Mike and Polly as well. What is your work, though? I know we've got grandmothers in the room whose part of their work is looking after the grandchildren. What is your work? What does it involve? What if your life's work involves helping a neighbour? What if your life's work involves running a children's group when you get home? I was looking at the Vospers earlier on. That's part of their life's work, isn't it? What if your life's work involves looking after a parent? What if your life's work involves washing up for others? The great Thomas Merton was not ashamed to say that washing up was his worship. What if your life work involves praying for and encouraging the grandchildren? What if your life work is simply being a Christian presence in the place that you are and being someone that they can look at and go, why are they different? What makes them different? Why do they seem to be different to others? What if that's your life work? Well, my friends, in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. And did you notice it's not, whatever you do, as long as it's not too hard. Whatever you do, as long as it makes you happy. It's hard, it's, you know, no, it's whatever you do. And that's difficult, isn't it? Because life is hard at times. We've heard some of that this morning already, but life is hard. And yet, whatever we do, we're called to be Jesus in the middle of that, to work as if working for the Lord. Let's take a moment just to watch part of the video. These videos are available on the website, but here's part of the video for this week.
Our work, all work, has been affected by the fall, by human rebellion. Yes, it's often not easy. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. The coving falls down. A splodge of cobalt blue splashes onto that freshly painted white skirting. There is frustration and waste and disappointment. But that does not mean that human work has lost its original purpose, to contribute to human flourishing to the glory of God. It's still part of God's plan for each of us. Eden was perfect and there was work to be done. Our world is imperfect and there's work to be done. As we've seen before, Christ died not only to save people, but to inaugurate the restoration and renewal of the whole universe. And one of the ways we participate in that is through our daily activities. Our brushstrokes can be part of God's bigger picture. Of course, you don't need to be a Christian to paint a room beautifully. Still, as disciples of the Carpenter King, we seek to consciously, intentionally do whatever we do for Jesus, to ask for his wisdom and his spirit to help us to do it, and to pray that he would use our work to bless others to his glory. Who knows what he may do through it? As Psalm 90 says, "May the Lord establish the work of your hands." God be with you in everything you do this week.
So it's not necessarily easy, but we're still called to actually be on the front line. We're still called to actually be Jesus. So you heard that blessing from the psalm, "May the Lord establish the work of your hands." What is it that you want him to bless for you so that you might be a blessing to him? Have a ponder on that. As you ponder, some questions for you. Can I see the people I am working with as created, loved, or longed for by God? That annoying customer. That screaming child. That parent whose memory is such they don't even recognize you anymore. Can I see these people as loved and longed for? God came for them as much as he came for you and me. Can I use my hands as worship? I spoke of Thomas Merton using washing up as worship. Can me picking up the litter literally be worship to our God? Can we work in a way that reflects the restoration of Christ? Christ restores. I spoke with someone this morning who chose to follow Jesus this week. The restoration in her life is obvious. The mess is still there. Things are still wrong. But immediately you see a hope and a restoration in her life. Whatever we do, can we work at it with all our heart as working for the Lord? And my friends, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us and establish the work of our hands.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.